What a distinct blessing it is to be here with you tonight. Pastor Ogle is correct. Last year at this time, I was facing open heart surgery, and I am grateful that I can be here with you this week. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 10. I want to draw your attention to the theme or the passage from the theme, if I could. And I want you to be able to listen with me as we study the Word of God together. If we don't get done on time, it's because you didn't listen fast enough. It's on you, not me. Romans chapter number 10. Good to see Ambassador students here and other faculty as well. Thank you so much. Just looked back, saw Stan Joyner and Becca. Good to see you all there as well. Good to know Naomi really does go to church. We heard she did, but confident now that at least she showed up on Wednesday night and no one handed her a visitor card. So I felt this is good. Verse 1. Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he writes in this, the 10th chapter. You understand that the first 11 chapters of this book have everything to do with the principles of the gospel. The latter chapters of this book have to do with the practice of the gospel. As we understand this passage of Scripture, Paul is dealing with Israel's failure to believe and Israel's difficulties in believing, which was not a surprise because Scripture made that quite clear, they would struggle with coming to faith. Verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Jews are not the only one who have a zeal for God. In this case, Jehovah God for them. But there are other world's religions who have a zeal for God, and it is not according to knowledge, but it's rather, as we understand the Jews, setting about to establish their own standard of righteousness. Verse number 1, the Bible's, or verse number 2, "I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness." Herein is the problem of all society. Brother Heyman was kind to talk to us about a biblical worldview and how people attain that. If a man does not have a biblical worldview, it is because he is ignorant of God's righteousness. And when someone is ignorant of God's righteousness, it just means that they are not told. They are untrained. It doesn't mean that they are, I don't know, we have small children here, if I can say STUPID or not, but I will say they are uneducated and need training. We're not saying that they're dumb per se. We're just simply saying they need to know God's righteousness. If you see unrest anywhere in the world, it's a demonstration of the ignorance of God's righteousness that exists in this world. Hence us getting the word of God. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise." May I insert here, for clarity's sake, as you think about that statement, the righteousness which is by faith. Righteousness has always been apprehended by faith. A man does not come to Christ by his works. A man comes to Christ by his faith. He is reconciled to God by faith. It is not a work at all. Why? Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and said, "Lest any man could boast." Note further, if you would please, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven?" That is to bring Christ down from above. Or, "Who shall descend into the deep?" That is to bring Christ again from the dead. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith.
there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, thank you for allowing me to read this section of your word, and how appropriate it is for the missionaries who have been aligned for this conference this week. Everything we have is from the power of your word. It is the first tool besides your power that a missionary needs to go and do the work for you. I pray tonight, dear Father, that all the things that you had me think about today will come out in some semblance of an order, and that you will fill me with your spirit, and that you will fill your people with your spirit, and together, collectively, we will listen to your word, and that we will be responsive to your Holy Spirit's direction in our lives. For this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So you heard the theme, right? The feet of the gospel. In the Western mindset, as Americans, what do we say? Keep them covered, odor-free, and out of sight. But then we're faced with Scripture sanctioning these words. And if someone from the world, without any frame of reference from the Word of God, read that phrase, or even walked into church tonight and thought, do they wash feet here? Reminds me of a church where I was preaching in West Virginia, and they did a Christmas in July. A woman fainted in the choir, and an ambulance was called. The entire church is decorated with Christmas trees in July. And as I watched the ambulance men come in, the EMTs, etc., I saw them look. And I'm wondering what people would think if they walked in tonight. Some of you who weren't even prepared for missions conference might look at it. Then I thought about, how do I give an altar call? Rise, take up your Lysol, and walk. I understand the origin of these being on the steps to this platform area. I do. And I'm not making light, because these are words that we build the theme on from the Word of God. The statement in Scripture, quoted from Isaiah, says that they are feet which are beautiful. I'm going to tell you, of all the body parts, I mean, for real, if we could just like take pictures of people's feet tonight and then put them on the screen, they're ugly. Ladies, I know, you go get the pedicure and you paint the toenails, they're still ugly feet. There's nothing we can do to help them. They're weird, and everybody's got different kinds of toes, and you look at that and say, this is the best that we can come up with? But it's everything when you understand the context of what Paul is writing to the church at Rome. If I asked you to, and And Naomi in the office today said to me, she said, is this conference with this theme going to produce the illustration that you used at College Chapel years ago, which I'm not sure I'll ever live down, but that I took my shoes and socks off during the chapel service and then stuck my bare foot in front of people's faces. Some of you are so grateful that I'm up here and you're there. And those shoes are there, but you see what Pastor Ogle did? He left me a path. I can make it down. She asked me to sit, and the illustration came from a different part of the message and whatever. So the comfort that you have is that I think my toes are ugly, and I think yours are too. And we're good. We're just going to go with the premise that you have ugly feet, as I do. But what makes feet beautiful? At what season or stage do feet become beautiful? When does it transition from being just a theme into the reality of saying, well, all right, if there are beautiful feet that bring glad tidings of good things, if they're beautiful feet which preach the gospel of peace, at what point do our feet become beautiful? I think the fairness of the theme requires a fairness of the question. When we understand the word beautiful, it's the idea of saying these feet delight the senses. To say that something is beautiful is to say that they excite the intellect. It's to say that it brings emotional admiration. And in truth, that is the sense of the word beautiful. But never feet. Come on. Feet. Unless you lived at the end of the path where hope and light never was wrong. And a guy named Lloyd shows up to help figure out how to give you a copy of the Word of God.
Yes.
And then you say, whoa, please don't show us your feet. Whoa, these are beautiful feet. Herein I call your attention to the things I see in this passage of when feet become beautiful. Unless you think that this is only for the missionaries who are in this room to say they have beautiful feet. We've already established everybody has ugly feet. Even if your toenails are painted, they're still ugly. But when do our feet become beautiful in the sight of God and in the sight of mankind? In this metaphorical sense, you understand it. I don't want you to think that this is just about missionaries. I believe that there is a collective sense, as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, that established whether the person sows the seed or waters the seed, the fact is that everyone receives their reward. So the potential for beautiful feet exists for every person here, not just for those who may be of the order that are called missionaries to go, but rather to say that at some stage in our life, we will determine if we will be part of the beautiful feet team. Pastor referenced someone on staff who found the picture of the feet. And I looked, as you said this, at the supper hour, and I thought, well, this is going to be an amazing image. What is this going to look like? Imagination began to roll as I thought, and then I got in, and I thought, wow, those are about as ugly a feet as you can get. If there were ugly feet contests, these were the winners. But that's not the same. It's not that we're going to send these people to a podiatrist or to get a pedicure and say, make them beautiful. No, our feet become beautiful to the lost when four things happen. And if you listen fast enough, we might get done before the Waffle House closes. If you don't know when the Waffle House closes, you probably don't watch Andy Griffith either. Paul wrote, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Paul presents that thought after proposing four logical questions for the church at Rome to consider in his establishment of the principles of the gospel. People will never call on Christ if they have not believed. Which leads us to the second logical statement: people will never believe on Christ unless they hear. Which leads us to the third conclusion or logical statement: people will never hear of Christ without a preacher. And the fourth statement that's made in a conclusive matter is, they will never have a preacher unless someone sends them. This is what I'm driving at this evening. In order for you and I to be part of the beautiful feet team at this church, it is not just to say, I'll come forward and give my life to Christ and my feet will magically become beautiful. No, not at all. But rather to say, when you go back to the earlier part of this verse where it states that it requires the sending. Who sends the missionary to go? Well, it is the congregation, the church, God's people. The Great Commission was handed to the local church, and it's the church's responsibility to evangelize the world. So therefore, I say to you that when we, number one, when we give, it is when our feet become beautiful. We have missionaries that we support here at Emmanuel. Those missionaries, the stall cups included. Yes, we would look and say, Tim has beautiful feet. I thought I'd never, you would probably think about all the things you possibly could say in ministry. I never thought that made the list. Tim has beautiful feet. Kristen has beautiful feet. Anna Faith and Timmy have beautiful feet. But it's the membership at Emmanuel Baptist Church who enabled them to go. Except they be sent. They're not going to go on their own. They have no authority. A missionary can't be a missionary without a church. A church can't be a missionary without a church. Can't be a church without a missionary. This is a symbiotic relationship. It means that each needs the other to thrive. And so as we're going to say, Tim Stalka, Kristen Stalka, go to New York City. Evangelize the lost that you find in the community that God places you. It is at that point when we decided to send them out that our feet too become beautiful feet. When, in God's eyes and the sight of men, do our feet become beautiful? Well, when Tim gets there and he starts and begins to evangelize the lost and begins to plug people into church there in New York City, and souls are coming to Christ and such, and somebody says, how did you end up here? And you can say, back in North Carolina, there was a church that decided when we knew God's call that we would go. And they sent us here. And at which point they will say to you, then tell them thank you. And what are you hearing? The church in North Carolina has beautiful feet. Why? Because there is no evangelization of the world without us sending a missionary. So the first thing I want you to see, the answer to the question, when do the feet of the gospel become beautiful? One, when you give, or I was going to use C's and then G's, and then, so just get on the struggle bus with me if you would here, okay? You can say give, and that's probably the best word to use. But if I go with C's the rest of the outline, then it's going to be contribute. But no matter what you write down, it'll be fine. I told you tonight, you have beautiful feet. Number two, when do the feet of the gospel become beautiful? When people are called to the gospel. Note, if you would please, in these verses we established in verse number 15, except they be sent. So that's the first occasion where we can see feet becoming beautiful. But note the preface of that is, how shall they preach? Notice the second phrase it's mentioned in that, in the passage of Scripture as well, verse 15, that they preach the gospel of peace. Notice the last phrase, bring glad tidings of good things. When do feet become beautiful? When people are then called to go do what God's asked them to do. Lest you think that this is exclusive to missionaries. Every single one of us has been given the divine mandate to evangelize the world through our church. That means Cleveland County. That means Gaston County. That means the surrounding areas. That is our responsibility to evangelize the world. So when we know that there is a calling on God's life, to say God's calling on someone's life, we say to them, you go. And when you start to go in any capacity that you go, your feet become beautiful to the home that you bring the gospel to. You ever been on visitation? You knock on a door, and your carnal mind is saying, dear God, let me live through this experience. And your spiritual mind is saying, God, give me somebody to give the gospel to. And you get there, and you see the kids, and you see the mom or the dad, and you see the struggle that's going on in the home, and you realize you just showed up with hope and light and opportunity. You just showed up with the truth. You just showed up with a message of forgiveness and healing. You just showed up with a message that said, hope is found in the Word of God. And the end of the old life begins in our church. And it is at that point you realize those people will look at your feet and say, I remember the day when that person came to our house and our eternal address is changed. Amen. This is what missions is about. This is what beautiful feet are about, because this is what God's called us to do. Don't just simply say that this is for the stall cuts or the mules. This is not for Lloyd. This is for every single one of us. Our feet become beautiful when we contribute to the cause. Our feet become beautiful when you and I understand that they are called to bring the gospel to this community. Number three, I want you to see tonight that our feet become beautiful when we carry the gospel. Note, if you would please, I want you to focus on in the last phrase, it says, bring glad tidings of good things. Notice earlier part, reference twice to preach. So now I understand when people contribute and when people are called and when people carry the gospel. It's not just enough to say, I outsource my personal evangelism to missionaries and to our pastor and any of the Sunday school teachers of our church. That is insufficient and inadequate. There is no outsourcing of your personal evangelism. It is your task. It is your job. It's not just to say, hey, preacher, my neighbor is lost. Could you come and see them? That is insufficient and inadequate. We don't outsource to Pastor Ogle. What do? We go ourselves. You say, well, I can't go myself. You don't even know how I've lived as a neighbor. Well, isn't that the first problem we need to address? And then the second problem we address is your silence. Because when you and I hear in this phrase, the feet of the gospel, when you and I read this passage of Scripture which speaks of the feet involved in the gospel, then you have to understand it happens when you and I carry the gospel with us. It's the gospel tract. It's the word of testimony. It is the specific thing you say at the right time to someone whose heart and life is in an absolute mess. Sunday I was preaching in another area, I'm not quite sure where I was Sunday, but I was there. What was it? South Carolina. See, that's where I was, not far from here. The lady said to me, she said, I was at Burger King today at lunch. This is on Sunday.
said, I was in the drive-thru and I thought about what you said about our responsibility. It was at their missions conference, and it's a specific thing I mentioned at that point. And she said, I saw the guy. I know God told me to give him a tract. And I pulled out of the drive-thru, I didn't give it to her. She said, I felt so bad about that. She said, I really thought about driving back. And this is in the evening service. So I thought about driving back tonight, but honestly, Grandma Valley, and this is how she's relating it to me, I don't even think I know what to say when I have the tract in my purse. How do I hand that to them and say something? For some of you, you're thinking, oh my soul. And the rest of you are thinking, she's telling my story. I don't know what to say. So I said, maybe try what I say and fix it for yourself. And I'll take the tract and I'll extend it to the person and I'll say, what is inside of this changed my life? And I believe it was the same for you. So Brother O'Malley, I think I could do that. I said, then just start there. I think if you and I realize how much we are responsible for carrying the gospel, we would do far better than what we're doing now. I'm in churches. This is so terrible. I need to confess this to you. I was in a church several times in a row. Let's put it out here. Okay, here we go. And I noticed that the tracks were faded in the track rack, so the sun hit the track rack in the foyer of the church. I noticed it the next year. And I noticed it the next year. So the third year, I marked one of them. Don't judge. It was just a very carnal moment. And I came back again and it was there. Unless I quickly judge. I thought, how many times have I been to that track back at our church? So you're a preacher, you're supposed to be bringing the gospel. My feet aren't looking that great every day. How are yours looking? So I hope you should see. My feet are a lot better looking than the person next to mine. They don't do anything for God. I know them. This is for God to determine.
Yes.
Because when we show up with the gospel, what are we doing? We are bringing hope and light and a message of eternity with Christ. How do we get to the place where our feet are beautiful? Number one, when we have people who contribute to the gospel. Remember the phrase, except they be sent. Number two, when do our feet become beautiful? When we have people who are called to serve in the gospel. Number three, we have beautiful feet when we have people who will carry the gospel. When you talk about feet, you're talking about an implied destination, an implied direction. You're talking about a journey. You're talking about arriving at a place with the people that are there who are in need of whatever you've been assigned to bring. And you and I have been assigned to bring hope and light and eternity and to see lives change. And this is the message that we carry. We're not here for another feel-good message of something else. They can get that plenty on television. We're here to say this is where lives are changed. Hope is found. Forgiveness is discovered. And healing begins. This is our hope. The feet of the gospel happen when we carry it with us.
Number four. By way of introduction. I look at the last phrase of verse 15. And it says that they preach the gospel of peace, last phrase, and bring glad tidings of good things. I have to give it to you this way because I think this is how I understood it. It's not just when we contribute, and it's not just when we're called, and it's not just when we carry it, but lastly, it's when we communicate it. When we actually are out there, there's a very old term
we hardly hear this word used, except maybe about a newspaper, the name of a newspaper. The word is herald. You know, like the song Hark the Herald? Well, sort of, but not really. To herald is to proclaim. You would remember, if you've read anything in history, they would go out to the town square, the heralds would go, not Harold, but herald, and they would say, "Hear ye, hear ye!" That bold proclamation. That's our job, to communicate the gospel. It's not just carrying it. It's not just contributing to it. It's not just saying I'm called to it. It's saying I'm communicating it.
Yes, right.
You know, I don't know about you, and this COVID thing is, you know, big and all that. I guess that's why they call it a global pandemic, but it hasn't changed our mission. So on the news today, no matter how you do the count, they said that we surpassed 200,000 Americans who 6 months ago thought they'd see Christmas. Yeah. Didn't. Where'd they go? Well, that's not a fair question. We've been quarantined.
Well, there was a time where we weren't quarantined.
And how engaged were we in communicating the gospel? But I don't like, for me, this is just O'Malleyisms, okay? What is that? That's just how I feel about something that you have to be stuck listening to because I'm up here yelling at you for 35 minutes. I hate when the busyness of life makes me forget why I'm really here. I don't know if that happens to me. My job is to communicate Scripture. That's my job. Well, because you're a preacher.
A child of God first. There was a missionary who served in West Africa. He told of one of the villagers who had elephantiasis. Do you know what that is? That is
where your leg can go to like 12 to 15 inches around, and everything here becomes just a stump. Okay? So I've heard people pronounce it elephantitis, but it's really elephantiasis, I think is how it's referred to. And this man in that African village had that.
He trusted Christ as his Savior.
And every morning he would get up and he would go from house to house and he would tell people about the grace of God and the salvation he found, and that they should come to Christ. And every day, as he made this journey, and I didn't know the missionary, and this is from a book from about 100 years ago, so given all of that, the missionary said that he finished going to every home in that village. And so then he started a village that was 2 miles away. And he would walk that journey and do the 2 mile away village. And again, with the same physical condition where his feet were just, they were just like tree trunks, if you will, like elephant's feet. And he went to every door in that village. He would walk there, he would walk back. He completed that village and went to the missionary and said, "I learned of a village 10 miles away." His family tried to discourage him. The missionary tried to discourage him. "It's too far." And he said, "But no one should be on earth without hearing of the good news of salvation." The man would not be persuaded. His family woke one morning and found that he was gone. He'd gotten up early and walked all the way the 10 miles to that village. Arrived there at noon and did not stop to eat, but evangelized all day in that village until sundown. Walked home in the pitch dark jungle and got to the missionary's door back home. The missionary said, he collapsed on my step. The missionary said, with my tears and salve that I had, I wiped his feet as I realized this man lived out this verse. No one in the world would ever say his feet were beautiful unless you were lost. And the guy showed up with the size of elephant feet for his legs and feet, and a bloody mess. And then the missionary discovered, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Most of us have more than one pair of shoes. Most of us have more than a pair of socks. Most of us, if we had that gentleman's condition, would not even dare go out. But he believed the gospel was worth bringing. And his feet were beautiful feet. What does God say about you? Are you contributing? Are you called to this gospel? Are you carrying it somewhere? Are you communicating it at all? Or are you just breezing through life, making sure your needs are met and you're satisfied? And never once thinking, I wonder if God thinks these are beautiful. I know they're beautiful when we're called to it. And I know they're beautiful when we carry. And I know they're beautiful when we contribute. And I know they're beautiful when we communicate. Maybe the Lord would let us meet the same man in heaven. I don't know how those things go, but that would be quite a story to hear of why he did it. And we who are quite ambulatory don't do much. Would you stand with me? Father, I pray this evening as we contemplate the significance of the theme and this passage of Scripture as Paul was inspired to write it, that we will absolutely consider not just the feet of our missionaries, but our own feet before your eyes. This man who had this terrible condition went 10 miles just to tell people about you. Help us, God, to have that passion to carry the gospel, to communicate the gospel, to be willing to be called to the work of the gospel, and to contribute toward it. Father, I pray tonight that the prayer of your people will be, may I have beautiful feet in your sight. For this I pray in Jesus' name.